Well, good morning. I'm always grateful to be here at River West. It's just such, actually, one of my favorite group of women when I get invited to Sprouts. So I know that we're going to process a lot of things this morning, but my hope is that you'll just take away one little nugget, okay? So don't feel like you have to capture it all, but when something hits you, it's probably the Holy Spirit saying, this is for you. Okay, so that might be the one thing that you jot down today. But don't feel like you have to gather all the information that I'm offering you this morning. You know, being a mommy, I get it. I get it because I've got my daughters. And of course, I had to grab the most cute picture I have of my girls, Adoniah and Nevaeh. I get it. Adoniah and Nevaeh are night and day different. My oldest, curly hair. My youngest, straight hair. My oldest, quiet and contemplative and thoughtful, and my youngest is a firecracker and emotionally charged. And I remember rocking them when I first had my oldest. And as a clinician and being in ministry for years, I understood how difficult it was on the in the confidential spaces of being a woman and being a mommy. And it's why it took me so long to actually have kids, because I really held the responsibility in high regard. And I remember being very afraid as I rocked my baby, going, holy mackerels, this little one belongs to me, and this world is a scary place and a hard place, and that anxiety started rising even greater. And at that time, I remember asking God, please help me, help me, help me, and he gave me this idea of knowing that I can't do this alone. I need other mommies. Call them the mommy posse. And I needed to have some good friends. And so thinking about a way to travel with other moms intentionally with my daughters created this thing called Courageous Girls. And Courageous Girls is just intentional, ongoing gathering with moms and daughters, the same moms and daughters, throughout our girls' elementary, middle school, and high school years. And by starting that for my own daughters and the passion that I had to help me as a mom, my daughters, we have seen this group actually pop up throughout the nation. There's been word of mouth and other mommies saying, I want to know how to do this. I want to know how to walk alongside my girls and explain things like sex and changing body and how and modesty and vulnerability and how to have a voice in a world that wants to keep trying to put my voice down, and but not to be this woman of I am woman, hear me roar, and all the confusion that we have as Christian women. And so it's really exciting because we're developing a curriculum that'll be launched here in April for moms who want to start doing this together and to resource you, just to be able to do something with other moms. And so my heart as a mommy and my own realities of being a mommy is why I'm sharing today. And yes, I have some expertise that I bring to the table from my job as a clinician, but really, what I'm speaking to you more is I know it personally, and so I want you to hear that today, that I'm speaking to you as another mommy. And thinking about the idea of what makes us anxious, I want you just to turn and share with the woman next to you, what are some of the things that make you anxious just in ordinary life of being a mommy? Okay, you're going to get to talk a lot more after, but I wanted some of you just to shout out some of the ways that we experience anxiety in the world around us as mommies. Just what are some thoughts that you guys are sharing with one another? Getting out of the house in the morning can raise our anxiety, totally.
That I'm going to permanently screw them up.
Exactly. And they're going to be in my office for years to come. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and when they're going to happen, right? Is it going to be in the middle of the grocery store aisle, at a church function, with all these other amazing parents? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Letting them go to school.
Yeah. We start worrying about that even from the moment we're not supposed to let them go yet, and we're going, oh, no, what happens? And when you send them off to preschool, and then when you send them off, yeah. Safety. Safety anywhere. And it is right in front of us. Every way we turn, we just are hearing nonstop about safety concerns in our culture. Exactly. Those of us who experience anxiety and are willing to own it recognize that it goes way up. And those of us that say, well, I'm not really an anxious person, if you really pause and look, there are a lot of things that are pulling at the peace that we so want to experience in our walk with God and in our walk with our families and the kind of home we want to create. When I was a newlywed, it was 2001 and 9/11 happened. And I remember going to work that morning not knowing what was happening that day. And everyone in my office was just standing in the waiting area. We were all glaring up at the TV watching as 9/11 unfolded. And at that moment, I would have said I wasn't a very anxious person at all. And I was very hopeful. I'm a newlywed. We're going to conquer the world. I had all these dreams. And at that moment, everything just shut down for me to the point where I didn't think I even wanted to have kids at that point. Because danger came right into our homeland in a way that we had never experienced before. The other piece about that is my family's Middle Eastern. I have no known terrorists in my family, just want you to know. But they're Syrian and Lebanese, all on my dad's side of the family. And so it really changed the way that my family was even able to engage in the culture around. I remember my grandma, who's German, shopped at Kmart, and had gone to Kmart with her husband, my grandpa Mustafa, and they did this blue light special thing where the siren went off, kind of like the chimes, and she panicked and darted behind the aisle because she thought they were coming after her husband Mustafa. It's this hilarious story, but really the reality of the traumatic hit of 9/11 and how it changed a lot of our lives. And recognizing that the news is filled with these kinds of events nonstop. And it's getting closer and closer to home. When we think about our schools, when we think about our neighborhoods, we think about our neighbors, there's just so much hard stuff that's impeding on our ability to maintain peace. You might even be feeling your body starting to go up as you think about it. Let's all take a breath. I need one. All right. The second thing is when I'm having babies, then it was about the time when Facebook and blogging, kind of these blogs came out where you're supposed to post all these pictures of your kids, and it was pretty new, and this anxiety of needing to let everybody else know what's happening on the inside of my home, this feeling of grandma and grandpa wanting to know every picture that I took and having to post that, and who had time. Back then, it wasn't even that easy. It took extra time. And so this anxiety of the digital world hit. And fast forward to today, it has gone fast to the point of where it's right here on my watch. It's pretty soon on our glasses. You guys seen that everything is coming at us at light speed. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit more later, but this has changed the way our brains function. We have more anxious brains today than we ever did because of the digital world. And not only that, but I have this angst to have to try to keep everybody seeing a perception of me and what's happening. And I decided at that point, when I realized that my anxiety went from a 2 to 8 every time I was on social media, I decided I had to get out. That's not a conviction you have to have, but I have to say that I noticed the way my body responded every single time, and I'd be like, I can't believe they're in Hawaii right now as I'm nursing and feeling like a cow. I'm like, it was so hard to be present and be in my own reality when I was looking at everybody else's reality out there. And to be honest, I'm not strong enough. I need to be able to live my life and not be trying to hold your lives as well. And so recognizing what happens to us when we have this constant need to be posting who we are to the world and wondering if they like me, and vice versa, and feeling like everybody's telling me every last detail of their life. And we're losing out on living present and being fully here in the moment. And then you just have children. I mean, children bring anxiety, everything from temper tantrums to, I have PTSD from putting my children to sleep. I remember at nighttime to put them to bed and just wondering if they were going to wake up, how many times I was going to be disrupted. And when a baby cries once in a while, I can feel that like same feeling I felt going to bed at night. And it's literally a part of that's seared in my brain of, will I get a good night's sleep? Will I get a good night's sleep? And then you have marriage issues, right? My husband and I were married 6 years before we had our first child, and we had an amazing marriage. And then babies came. And we actually started to have some major issues. I became very controlling. I didn't realize I was controlling until this baby was in my arms. And I'm like, I know the way to help this little one. You don't, back off. And so there were a lot of tensions going, right? And that anxiety is raising. Our perception is reality. And so we live in a culture that keeps telling us who we should be, who's telling us who we are. And there's a lot of shoulds coming at us. And so what I want to talk about is how we can fight that a bit with who God is and who he says we are today, and literally understanding a little more about anxiety so that we take the power out of it, okay? Many of us try to cope by staying very organized. Like maybe our anxiety is more about life will get chaotic, and if I really plan ahead, and so I keep everything very organized, my color-coded towels, my color-coded closet, my living room, and some of you here are like, I've never seen that in my house, and I don't know if I ever will. That would be me. But some of you are like that. Others of you just try to hold it together, fake it till you make it kind of feeling. Inside, you're dying, and you're steaming, but nobody else knows because you got the face on, and you're holding it inside. And the problem with that is that it leaks out in really funky ways, like too much glasses of wine at night, or maybe I'm coasting out on social media too long because I just need a zone, right? You'll find I'm very klutzy, so just bear with me. Trying to be super mom. This is probably where I struggled a bit of the Pinterest came out and everybody's like, okay, what's the birthday party going to look like? Oh, it's Valentine's. Oh, I should probably make heart shaped waffles. And just that anxiety of having to create some sort of experience so my kids will turn out okay. This idea of if I'm a super mom, then they won't have pain. And then, right, fill in the blank. And so we have all these ways we try to control the anxiety inside us. And then there's those of us that just say whatever and let chaos happen. I like this picture. She's still looking good in her little high heels. But it's mayhem around her, and she's just like, whatever. I don't care. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Just kidding. So we've become really anxious about being anxious, and I would say this is particularly true in the church, that we are afraid of our emotions, and we give our emotions more power than they really have. But we're anxious to be anxious, and it's creating a constant bottom line of anxiety where instead of starting at a 1 to 10 scale, 1 being peaceful, most of us are starting at a 4, and there's not a lot of room by the time we hit our day in our anxiety, in our bodies, and the way we are coping in our minds. So what is anxiety? Anxiety is this. It's basically just the fear of the unknown. If I don't know what's going to happen, as I share with you today, I could start to feel anxiety coming up. I don't know what you're going to think of me. I don't know what you're going to do with this. I don't know if you're going to fall asleep right now. There's a lot of I don't knows. And so I can let anxiety start to build in my body. It's a normal emotion, and actually it's a God-given emotion. It's a warning signal. We're supposed to feel anxiety when you're in an unsafe environment or you're in a new environment. Your kids might feel that anxiety come up of, I don't know what school's going to be like. And so it's normal, and we want to normalize that. We want to make it say, you know what, anxiety is not anything to be scared of. It's more of a just a calming place to just say, we will have anxiety. It's what are we going to do about it? Versus to be afraid of it and to make it pretend like it's not there. It becomes abnormal when it's prolonged. So that's oftentimes when you hear a diagnosis of somebody saying they have an anxiety disorder. That's prolonged anxiety. It's when anxiety was ignored and ignored and ignored and ignored and ignored. And then pretty soon it creates this constant interruption in your life and you're having a hard time coping. So it becomes abnormal when it's prolonged, okay? I feel like I got stuff on my lips. Okay, so it can be accompanied by physical signs of unease. If you were to pause in your body right now you would be able to notice where it is where you don't feel easy, you don't feel at peace. We might call that anxiety. I have a little bit in my chest right now as I'm talking to you guys because it's normal. Whenever I talk in front of people, I tend to feel that little anxiety. It's normal there. But I know where it is. It's right here. For you, it might be your gut. You might feel it in your sweaty hands. You might feel it in your shaking knees. But if you pay attention to it and you start to notice it, then you can know what to do about it. And we can teach our children the same. Anxiety comes from a lot of different things. One, genes. You did not get to decide what kind of genes you got. God decided that. And I have this bias after being in ministry for years and a counselor for years now. I think all of us have some sort of gene. We either have the depression gene, the anxiety gene, or the denial gene. I had the denial gene, or so I thought for a while, where I just thought, you know what, I don't wrestle with those things. But I came from a family system that didn't acknowledge emotions. We were a mind over matter kind of family, and we could power our way through our feelings. But when I really came down to it and started to understand myself, I saw through my children, I was like, oh, shoot, I have the anxiety gene. And here's how I found out. My oldest was in kindergarten. She's in fifth grade now. And it's the fun run. Does anyone know what the fun run is? Elementary school. We show up to the fun run. I'm excited as a new mom. I'm like, oh, my first fun run. Of course, I'm taking pictures to post on Facebook. And so I'm taking pictures, and pretty soon I'm noticing my little kindergartner starting to cry. And she's really starting to melt down. That turned into a tantrum. I'm like, we're in kindergarten. This does not happen. And not in front of all these people, please. I had two parts of my brain going on. My mommy brain was panicking because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm the only one with a melting down child in this entire field of all these moms and kids. Then I had this counseling brain, and I went, my daughter is feeling overwhelmed right now, and she needs my help. What would I do with a kid in my office or an adult who's having panic? So Holy Spirit led me to this side of the brain so that I wouldn't take over in my mommy gear. And I took my daughter and I walked over to a rose bush. And we just bent over. And I just said, tell me what you see. What colors do you see? Let's smell the rose. What do you see on these leaves? And we just felt how soft the rose was. And you could see her body starting to calm down. See, God created us to respond to whatever we meditate on. And at that point, she was meditating on how overwhelming the environment was. The music, the kids everywhere. She has a little social anxiety where if people are watching her do something, her body starts to kick in. And so at that moment, we calmed her down, and then we were able to move on. But I realized that I do that same exact thing, except mine looks more like irritation. And instead of throwing a temper tantrum, I get mad. And I say flippant words to my husband. And I'm like, that's my anxiety. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I've had an overwhelming day. And instead of saying, I'm overwhelmed, I say, you jerk. Those kinds of dynamics started happening. And I was like, we got the anxiety gene. We also have lots of ways that we impact our bodies and impact anxiety through the foods we eat. One of the first assessment questions I ask is, how much caffeine do you drink? And as mommies, a lot of us have to drink caffeine to make it through our days. But recognizing that that is increasing the anxiety part of our brain, that ends up going on faster. And so having to think about what are the things that we're eating, things that we're putting into our body. And then there's just plain flat hormones. Does anybody feel more anxious right after having a baby? period time, PMS, menopause. There are so many different types of hormone shifts in a woman's body. So we just have to recognize that hormones play a huge role. And if we can pause and just say it and recognize it and own it, it helps us to not be anxious about our anxiety and to just be able to say, I know I can do something about this. Environmentally induced, how much news am I watching? How much am I exposing myself to all the hard stuff that's going on around in my family? Am I taking in all of everybody else's hard stuff? It's impacting my anxiety. Racing and busy versus worry. I want to explain the difference. So some of us have anxiety that's a worry anxiety. It's the what if, what if, what if, what if. And then there's those of us that have more of a racing anxiety. I got a lot to do on my to-do list, and we are busy and productive, and we move, move, move. We have a really hard time being present and still and knowing that God is God. And so these two can look very different. One looks very accomplished and capable, and the other one looks cautious and guarded, but they're both anxiety. And so recognizing that in how it comes across in your own processing as a mommy. And then how many of you don't have to raise your hand, but thinking, how many of you are millennials? That term has a lot of connotations with it. But if you're from the age of 18 to 35, you're technically a millennial. And what that means is you grew up in an environment very different than those of you before because you grew up in the digital age. And that means you grew up with everything right here, the palm of your hand, and didn't learn how to rest, to learn how to have breaks from work, to learn how to have breaks from people, to learn how to have breaks from hard stuff. It's always with you, always on you, everywhere. And so what that has done is it's created a different kind of brain. And we've seen that in the neuroscience, is that millennials have higher levels of anxiety and depression because of having to grow up in this digital time. And so it's not a shame thing. It's actually just a acknowledging and going, oh, that's why I feel this angst in me all the time. There's a lot more reasons for that, but just wanted to acknowledge that that is a key piece of contributing to our anxiety. Oops, I'm messing up here. Okay, so I want you to pause for a second. I just want you to notice these pictures. I'm going to go through them slowly. And I just want you to feel what it feels like in your body when you expose yourself or focus on something outside of you and see what it does on the inside. So 1 to 10, 1, I'm peaceful, 10, it's intense. How does this picture make you feel? Can you notice? Do you notice what's happening on the inside? Which pictures make you feel more calm and which ones make you feel a little more angst? Yeah. And so being that aware is what I'm asking of us today, is to slow down and listen and process and be in step with Holy Spirit. What the heck is happening? And if we can do this as mommies, we can sure help our children do this too in 18 years. We've got 18 years, so it's okay if it doesn't happen tomorrow. But in terms of being able to recognize what brings peace to me, and what are the things that I'm allowing into my world that I'm focusing on that is really too much? And some of those things we have control over and some of them we don't. And so the things we have control over, those are the ones that we want to work on with the Lord, okay? But one of those big pieces is where we focus our minds on Scripture. I love the Word. And the more that I'm in touch with my own humanity and the struggles that I have, the more that I see how God's Word fits right in the pocket of our humanity and the struggles we have. So often we think God's up here, and I'm like, no, he's right here. And the things he's saying to us is in love and in getting it. He gets it. And so one of these passages that is very commonly used for anxiety is the do not be anxious passage. And I'm going to read it in the Message version first, and then we'll read it in the New Living Translation. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces the worry at the center of your life. Okay? Starting out with don't fret or worry isn't a you shouldn't be worried. It's an understanding that you are going to be worried and you are going to fret and you are going to be anxious. Let's just start there and recognize that there's some solutions here that God's offering us. Okay, so the other version is don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. Don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. You see, the answers are coming in simple things like talk to God about it. Don't hold it in or pretend as if it doesn't matter. It matters to him, and he's saying, come to me. Let's talk about it. Let's process it together. He's saying, tell God your needs. Actually, ask for what you need. Admit that there's a need there. I'm nervous. I'm anxious. I'm worried about this. Could you help me here? Could you cover them? I can't do that, Lord, but can you make sure that your power is made perfect in my weakness because I can't help them? And then God gives us answers, and when he does, to make sure you remember them. The Bible tells us a lot to remember. Remember what he's done. And I have to calm my anxieties for the here and now by remembering my story and remembering the history and remembering what he's done with all these other people in the Bible. And I'm like, oh yeah, look at what he did there. He led the Israelites out of slavery, and they're like, yeah, we're free. And then they start grumbling, and they hit the Red Sea, they hit the Jordan River and all these floods, and they start to panic, and they're anxious, and they're like, but you led us out of slavery, and yet there's these big waters before us. Where are we going to go now? They forgot. So to remember what he's done and to remember what he can do, even if it doesn't look like it right now, can help us to take a deep breath and wait on the side of the river when it's flooded and wait for God to part the waters and let him do it, not me. So often I'm anxious because I think it's up to me. I think I have to make these kids know who God is and make them understand how to be a responsible adult. It's not up to me. I get to participate, but it's not up to me. And that is what God's word tells us again and again and again and again. He tells us to consider. I love Matthew 6 and Luke 12, where he says, pause and just consider the robins. If you're worried about if you're going to have money, clothes, food, look at the robins. See that I take care of them. If I take care of them, I love you far more, and I'm going to take care of you too. So the considering is pausing and noticing the ways that God is working and is moving. And what are the ways that he wants to use the little things around me, like the rose bush for my daughter? Let's go and consider how the roses are and pause and just smell them, feel them, and to recognize that I can calm myself in the middle of a very chaotic environment. These are skills that God is teaching us in his word that the science of and research in our mental health profession are proving to be true. When we actually meditate on something that is good and righteous and pleasing, it's created by God, our bodies calm down. It's the coolest thing. And so what our remedy is to focus on what is known, focus on who God is, what he's done, focusing on currently in the here and now, I'm alive. I'm breathing. Feel my breath in my air, in my lungs. It moves me from worrying about tomorrow or fearing what happened in the past to being right here and now. I'm in this room with a bunch of lovely ladies, and this is all I've got guaranteed right now, so I'm going to be fully here. And how do I do that? I focus on my five senses: what I smell, what I hear, what I taste, what I see, and what I feel in my body as I sit in that chair or I'm standing on the stage. My mind always wants to wander and go somewhere. Doesn't the scriptures talk about that too? We always want to move somewhere, but the tendency to focus it, to take our thoughts captive, is what we're growing. Focus on what I can do. Where do I have power, and what are the things I can stop? I can stop going to Facebook and focusing on my phone. We have digital addictions now that we never had because we are getting dopamine fixes every time we get a text or an email, and I have it too, but that tendency to want to grab for my phone to feel better is something that all of us are doing and maybe aren't aware, but I can control what I do with this phone. So I put it far, 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 far away from me when I walk in my house. And I literally have to put it in another room so I can't see it. Because I know that my tendency is to want to go grab it when I'm trying to be present with my children. Are you following me? Yeah? So those might be things I can control, things I can do. I can't control what issues are going on in my extended family, but I can control how much I engage in that and how much I try to get right in the middle and fix it all. I can control that. Leaving the rest to God. That's the final part, is to say, you're a big, big God. Do your thing, Lord. Do your thing, because I'm just a vessel. And as a mommy of these little ones in a very, very anxious world, you got to do your thing. And he's faithful too. He's so faithful too. He grows our faith to be a mommy in this anxious world, I think. I've grown in so much of my faith of who God is just in the 11 years that I've been a mommy. One of my favorite children's books helps me with my own peace, but it helps my daughters as well. It's called You Are Special by Max Lucado. And the story goes like this. There's this little guy, Punchinello. He lives in a wooden, they're called the wooden people, the Wemmicks. And they're all wooden little puppet kind of people. And everyone goes around putting dots and stars on each other. If you can perform really well, if you can be really organized, make heart waffles on Valentine's Day, if you perform really well, you get a lot of stars. And if you don't perform very well, your house is pretty chaotic, you're always late everywhere, you get a dot. And we go back and forth, people putting dots and stars on us. And we have bought into this in our culture. It's just a normal human thing to do. And we look at ourselves and we define ourselves by the dots and the stars. And what little Punchinello learns as he meets a little other Wemmick named Lucia, she has no dots. No stars. And he's like, how'd you do that? You know what our answer was? I go visit Eli, the woodcarver. Well, that sounds pretty simple. So little Punchinello walks over to Eli, climbs the hill, sits, and he's just shocked when Eli says, Punchinello! Because he knows him. And he's been waiting for him to visit. And so Eli and Punchinello engage, and all Eli just keeps telling him is, you are special. You are special. And he's like, but I have all these dots. He says, no, you're special. I made you, and I know exactly why I made you. And I see that. And what's so cool is by the end of the time that he leaves Eli's wood bench, a dot falls. He didn't make it fall. The dot fell on its own. And the trick or the secret between Lucia and Punchinello losing his dots is that both of them figured out that the answer is going to Eli. And just having a relationship with Eli. That's it. Pretty simple. And so a relationship with a God who reminds us again and again and again and again, while everyone's trying to put dots and stars on us, Eli reminds us of who we really are. And those dots and stars start to fade. And then we can eventually be like Lucia, where they don't stick anymore. People can try to give me a star. Tara, you are the best speaker ever. I don't know anyone said that to me yet, but I think I imagine it. You are the best. And then it'd be so tempting for me to pocket that star. But I know that's not where my value is. It's not. My value is because I'm made by a creator who loves me, as Tara. Not my resume, and not all of my clumsy moments of when I've tripped over myself in front of people. He just loves me. And that's the freedom. Here's some key scriptures that have spoken to me. I'll be a little more vulnerable with you, okay? So one of them is Isaiah 41:10 that I have to go back to and meditate on to focus my attention when I'm starting to get anxious and overwhelmed by everything coming at me. And it comes from a time when I was struggling with my family that I grew up with and some of the issues that I was struggling with my faith. And I remember feeling like it was all up to me. All up to me. There's a lot of reasons why that is, but all up to me. And I remember God clearly giving me a picture. And the picture was this. He's a big, big God so big, he's standing in the ocean, and I can't see the bottom of his legs, he's that big, and I can't see the top of him, he's just big, and the ocean is just like a little pond around him, and he's holding his hands like this, and I'm right in the center of his hands, this little pipsqueak, right in the center, and he says, don't fear, I'm here, and I have you in the palm of my hand, I have you right here. And what's so great about that image that God keeps bringing to mind whenever I start to get fearful is he does not move. He is steady. When the waves start crashing all around and life is getting chaotic and hard things are happening again and my kids are not obeying, whatever the issue is, he's steady. And I literally will take my body, this might sound crazy to you, but because I know the neuroscience that I need to tell myself where to go, I literally will do this to remind myself I'm standing in the palm of his hands. Chill, Tara. You're in the hand, you're in a steady hand. You're in a big, big hand. And then the other kind of lie that I tend to believe sometimes is that I just can't do it, God. Not only can't I don't want to. I don't want to do that. I want to go talk to those ladies about this. I don't know what's going to happen. And he keeps reminding me this. He says, His grace is sufficient, for his power is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. The same Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in me. Those of us that follow Christ and have accepted him into our life and just said, I want a relationship with you, his power, his presence comes and lives inside. And I'm always blown away when I stop worrying about the fact that I can't do this. And I just go, but you can. You can show up and speak to these ladies. You can be the one who knows their hearts. My fear is that I won't speak directly to you and I'll minimize your pain. That's a fear I have. And I'd much rather talk to you in my counseling office where I can hear your story. So to talk to you blanketly like this, knowing all your hurts and pain and your story, I have to trust that God knows. God knows. And his power is made perfect in my weakness. I'm not all-knowing. And I'm a little clumsy, and I fumble over my words. But I know he speaks. So I start to feel, when I feel really small, I can't do it. In these moments, he makes me feel really big and powerful because he's here. Does that make sense? So I'm meditating, I'm focusing my thoughts when my body is going, I'm aware of what's happening here, and now I know what to do. I can meditate, I can focus. I can focus on the here and now. I can focus on God's word. I want to give you guys some very practical ideas of how you can help your anxiety. I've given you a few, and I'm just going to get very nuts and bolts, and then I'll open up for some questions, okay? So, learning that exercise actually is a great anti-anxiety. If we have babies and you are just in the home all day, you need to move, your anxiety is going to build naturally. So give it some release. Go walk around your house if you can't get outside, literally. Do a loop around the island, okay? Do some sit-ups, do some push-ups, do something. But moving your body will help give you some endorphins that actually calms anxiety. The more you can exercise, the more endorphins you get. I exercise for my anxiety. I get some byproducts, right? Maybe get some biceps, but that's about it. You know, really the most of why I do it is for my anxiety. Breathing. God created it, so if we actually breathe, you just go down a notch in your anxiety. So everybody do it with me. We're going to count four in and six out. And the world's really caught on to this. If you notice, there's a lot of teaching on breathing, yoga, meditation. God designed it. He's the first who came up with this. So you can breathe anywhere. You can breathe while holding your child. You can breathe in here. You can breathe in the car when you're in the middle of traffic. Get your body oxygen, because here's what happens. Your brain cannot be anxious when it's breathing deep. They're juxtaposed, and you're tricking your brain to say, you're actually calm right now. If you're panicked or your anxiety's high, you'll notice your breath is shorter. So you're going to tell your brain, you're calm right now. And it might take quite a few. But breath is pretty powerful. We talked about our five senses. You can go into the room or you can take a mini vacation if you can't get there. You might think about Hawaii in the middle of your living room with your crying baby in the background. Take a mini vacation. Focus on those five senses, on what the beach was like, your favorite swimming pool, your favorite mountain. Music, if you slow down and pay attention to the rhythms, the words, it tunes you in and it kind of gives you a moment of a break from the rest of life for just a little bit, and it calms your body down. So music's great. It's even better if you add some exercise. Don't laugh at my dancing. But, you know, if you move the body with the music, you get a double dose. Dance parties with your kids, it's a great way to calm the tone in the home. Journaling, who has time for that? I know. But honestly, it's a powerful way to calm our anxiety. I call it vomiting in the form of words. Art, drinking water actually has a lot of research that shows the more water you drink, the more you're fleshing out the anxiety in your brain. And so drinking water throughout your day. Time blocking and learning how to do one task at a time. If you're like me, I always blame it on the fact that I'm a mommy, that I multitask. But the truth is that it's killing me to do that. So if I'm doing dishes, just do dishes, Tara. Don't try to talk to your sister at the same time and parent from the kitchen, right? Just do dishes or stop doing dishes and go attend to my children if that's what I need to do, okay? But trying to do one task at a time and scheduling my days. When I had newborns, I remember a wise mommy said, have one to-do list, one to-do on your to-do list for the day. I was like, just one? Just one? I was used to getting like 40 things done in a day. One thing. So if all I could do is get to the grocery store, check. Everything else was icing, okay? But it's lowering our expectations and expanding our timelines and being able to say, one is good today. And God, you were glorified in going to the grocery store with no meltdowns. So being able to time block and then being able to have a community of other people that you talk to, that you tell your anxieties to. That could be through prayer, but it also needs to be through people. God heals us when we actually talk to one another. It's pretty profound. And the more that we as believers cannot shame one another when we say, but you shouldn't be anxious, because God, no. Of course you're anxious. Of course you're anxious. Do you want to pray together? Do you hear the difference? One says, don't be. The other one says, of course, we're all anxious. But we have some solutions. We have some answers and things that God has shown us and that the sciences have only backed up. Creative versus logic. One of the things that's so cool is that when you actually engage in creativity, your brain naturally calms down. So dancing, singing, coloring. Do you see coloring sheets? I brought you some coloring sheets because during your mommy time, during your chats, I thought it'd be fun for you guys to color and to feel the difference as you start to color and talk with one another. If we had more time, we'd make it quiet in here and you could color quietly, but we don't have that opportunity. So you can try it at home. You can do this with your little kids, your 2, 3, 4-year-olds. Love it when mommy colors with them, and it's so good for your own anxious brain. It's awesome. And you do not have to be Martha Stewart creative. You just need to do something that's outside of trying to analyze and figure out how to fix whatever you're trying to fix. Just do something creative. So hopefully I'm giving you a somewhat of a roadmap, and the roadmap is this. Identify where the anxiety is in your body. Identify all the things that are unknown. What am I really anxious about? Am I anxious about what you think about me? Am I anxious about my kids turning out bad? Anxious about my husband cheating on me? Am I anxious? What am I anxious about? So it's not just looming around. Let's name it. Let's call it what it is. then identify the knowns. What has God showed me about who he is, about who I am, and about what he is doing that I can meditate on, that I could focus on, and be able to calm this anxiety? And I'm going to have to do this again and again, like daily, maybe? Okay? So to be able to be okay with the fact that we live in an anxious world, and this is our call to just keep coming back to Eli, coming back to God, and saying, remind me who I am again, so I can be a mommy to my little ones. And even if the worst fear happens, God is still good. And I can testify to that. If you can't do that in your own life, I can tell you story after story after story after story when things have happened that are our worst fears, and we're able to heal and move through it. He made us pretty resilient. And in terms of understanding that we can make it through, we really can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We really can. None of us want to, but we can. And so limiting our exposure to things that make us anxious, but when something in real life happens that is anxiety driving and brings our greatest fears to reality, to know that we can press into our relationship with God and with others who will walk with us with grace and love and care, we can make it through. And so I'll end with this thought. I went surfing in Hawaii for the first time and probably last time with my husband, who grew up surfing. And we had the same instructor who taught Bethany Hamilton, who lost her arm to a shark, one of my worst fears. And he says, you know, what are you afraid of to get on the surfboard? And of course I say sharks. Are there sharks? And he's like, there's no sharks out there. I'm like, that's not what I saw on Shark Week. There were sharks all around. And he's like, oh, they're not around here. Don't worry. I'm like, yeah, don't worry. But he said, when you're worried, what all I want you to do is to focus on the surfboard. Pay attention to the surfboard. Look to the surfboard. Focus on the surfboard. He kept saying that. And I was like, well, will it hold me? Am I going to be wobbling around? He goes, the surfboard's actually pretty steady. And I'll tell you, when I got out there, that's all I did was focus on that surfboard. And I surfed. I wasn't Bethany Hamilton, but I surfed these little waves. It was so exciting. And it was so cool for me to see that he was right. If I just hunkered down on the surfboard, the water did not have as much power over me as I thought. And it took my mind off of the sharks that I thought were chasing me. Okay? And it was fun. I enjoyed it. And like I said, it might be my last because I just don't know when I'll get a chance again. I will not be going surfing in Oregon. Thank you very much. But in terms of that analogy is focusing on who God is. God's our surfboard. So when we're worried about everything else around, hone in and stand on the surfboard. Focus on who God is and who he's made us to be. And that is our work, if we have work here on this earth. Okay? So that he can do his thing through us. So we have time for just a couple questions out loud, and then I'm going to walk around to your small groups, and I'll be available to answer your more personal questions if you have them. But does anyone have any initial questions that they'd like to ask? Do we all need to breathe? You all look like you're holding your breath. Okay, you can just wait for me then. So let me just close in prayer, and then you can bring your coloring sheet with you, bring some crayons, your favorite colors, and you guys will be able to share amongst each other with what can stood out to you and what was sticky for you, okay? Lord, I am just so grateful. I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for your grace that we don't have to earn a thing, that it's because of Jesus Christ and what he did that we can be in relationship with you, that we can come to you without anything between us, and you see who we are. I'm thankful that you see that our children, you know who they are and what your purpose was for them, so we don't have to figure that out. You'll show us along the way. And I'm thankful for these women and the friendships that they have, and I pray that you would continue to grow the mustard seed of faith in them to be able to be a mommy who has peace in an anxious world. And I thank you and ask that you would go before these women, around them, under them, and that they could stand firm on the foundation of who you are and who you are in them. In Jesus' name, amen.